Raw power.
The
thrill of victory.
The agony of defeat.
Excruciating injury.
Put dirt on it.
Rub some dirt on it.
I'm Biggs.
I'm Adrian.
I'm Zach.
I'm Brandon.
Boy.
Everybody got their sheets out?
The new intro on that.
So is it put some dirt on it? Or rub some dirt on it?
It's put some dirt on it. We tried other names. I know you didn't listen to the podcast because at the very beginning of it, I put a disclaimer that
I didn't listen to
our names will not work and this is what it is.
Yeah, I didn't.
I made sure to check before I put it on the bat.
So do I. Check that out.
All right. Well,
they get smaller every week.
This is our new podcast.
He's going to have to get a microscope out next week.
Anybody listen to this? This is our sports podcast. We do a weekly little take on sports. If you listen to Montucky Sports, or if you'd like to go back and listen to it, it's on the stream for Montucky Skies. We're just basically doing the same thing. But we've been doing a breakdown of all the divisions in the NFL. And so we've already covered, the AFC South? So,
the NFC South.
The NFC South. We hit both Souths, right?
Yep. The AFC North.
Yep, and today we're doing the NFC North, so...
I actually got pretty excited about this one. This is a pretty good one. It was only because there's a little controversy, I think.
Okay, so go ahead, Adrian. Lead us off. You don't think the Vikings are going to take it, do you?
No, I have Vikings at the bottom.
Okay.
I think there's probably a lot of agreement along that way.
Yep. I have Green Bay taking it. And I have Detroit and Chicago, neck and neck. I'm giving Detroit an edge because Chicago's got a brand new offensive coordinator who is a rookie. He's never done it before in the NFL. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not giving it to them as a good thing right now. And the Bears have the worst offensive line in the NFL. I don't know what they've done to shore that up quite yet. Or if they can, with the way how bad it was, if adding two or three new players is going to help that out. But their defense is really, really good. So that's kind of a plus.
Still got Matt Forte coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense is going to be...
Brandon Marshall's back.
They're designing themselves to be a high-flying offensive team. It's just that if Cutler can stay upright. If that's the key, if he can keep standing,
and
up
he's
and
one
have
of those guys.
Available.
If he's under pressure, he makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And they have the worst offensive line in the NFL. There's too many iffy things that can't be. I don't feel comfortable saying something definitive until I actually see it play.
Okay, so you have the Bears and the Lions neck and neck. You said,
Putting the Detroit with that little edge.
Okay. I have the Bears and Lions neck to neck until week 3, in which the Bears decapitate the Lions and never look back, dude. I got the Packers at 14-2, the Bears at 13-3, the Lions at 7-9, and the Vikings with 1-15. And let me just say this about Minnesota really quick. 2 wins for the season, but only 1 in the regular season. The other one is that they're not moving to L.A. they're going to be floating off that all season because they're going to have to. Dude, Adrian Peterson is all that they have going last year, and he's having all kinds of problems in court.
He had an ACL, MCL, both.
Yeah.
Yep.
And is he even going to be able to play at the start
coming
of the season?
Coming back a year after that, nobody has ever done good.
Yeah, so I don't see where the... I almost gave them a victory out of sympathy, and because I don't see anybody ever tying that totally awful 0-16 Lions. So I figured that they would beat the Colts in week 2. And even, and maybe I shouldn't have even given them that, but...
I have them with 2 wins. I think they'll beat the Colts in week 2. And then I actually have them winning in week 17 against the Packers because I think
they're
going to
throw
gonna
all their backups. See, I thought about that, but then I thought about the last
their
time
backups
Minnesota.
Are still probably the, better than Minnesota.
Specifically,
starters.
I thought about the last time Green Bay threw all their backups against Minnesota and how many points did they put up?
Oh, it was brutal. Matt, yeah.
Matt Flynn, dude, like
torched
apart. Matt Flynn just gave himself a hefty 3-year contract. Off
what was
of that
it?
Game,
he,
so.
He.
I thought about that too, but then I was like, no. That's weren't happening.
See, I was with you, Green Bay Packers, 14-2. I had them losing to the Giants and the Seahawks.
The Giants and the Seahawks. I can see where you say the Seahawks because they are good at home. I think the Seahawks can beat anybody at home. They're not always going
to
do it.
And it's early in the year. That's kind of why I gave it to Seahawks.
They did sign
I had early.
Them,
yeah.
I had them losing at the Colts and at the Bears. But this is under the assumption that this is under the assumption that Forte and Cutler are still upright at this point.
What? Packers?
Yeah, they're playing them in Week 15, like at Chicago, and it seems like the Packers generally split with Chicago. So I figured they would probably do. But I mean, I hear you, 14-2 either way. So I don't think we're in that much disagreement.
And I had the Lions at 10-6.
Me too. With the exception if Matt Stafford gets injured yet again, they'll probably sink.
Yeah.
Well, they revamped their line, the Lions did. They lost almost half their line in the offseason.
Well, now here's a question, too, about Detroit is that, and this is just another thing that bugs me. It might not affect their team at all. Have their team went to jail for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That you just don't come back and have your team not affected by that.
A lot of off-field distractions.
Tons of it. And that's why I had them, even with Chicago's little problems that they're going to have, there is really, really close. So they're just two teams. It's just, and I said it was an exciting week for me. It was just getting involved with researching all this stuff and finding out all this little dirt, basically, on these teams. There's only, you have a clear winner and you have a clear loser, and the other teams are just going to see who doesn't suck the most.
See, I disagree. I think Chicago is going to be just like they were last year. I really do. Which is, which depends on whether they wind up getting people knocked out of injury. But before they lost Forte and Cutler, they were ripping it up. They were one of the number one teams in the NFL, and I don't think they'll quite capture the division because the Packers are there, but I really think
they will be.
They'll probably carve out a wild card spot. I'll just say this now. I know we weren't going to throw out our wild cards until we started the regular season, but
yeah,
I see Chicago being good enough for that. But I want to go back to Lions because I got them 7-9, and we have three losses different, so I want to see where we differed here. I got them losing to the 49ers in week 2.
Losing, yep.
And I feel like that's going to be a statement game for the Niners because they're probably going to lose to Green Bay in week 1.
Well, there's a lot of bad blood since going back to last
year. Total bad
game.
Blood, but now they're going into San Francisco. I don't see any way the Lions come out with the victory.
I don't see that.
They're going at Tennessee, which I could be talked into them winning, but I still kind of feel like Tennessee, especially early on. I feel like Chris Johnson is going to be playing in shape this year. And if he is, I see him running all over the Lions. I could tell we differ.
I had a win for the Lions on that one.
Okay, why? Give you my just.
You know, I don't think the quarterback situation there is where they need it.
No, but Stafford? I don't think their strength is.
No, for Tennessee.
Yeah, they got Hasselbeck. Who usually starts out seasons pretty great,
but
it's the end
Stafford
of the
starts out seasons
yeah.
way better
when he's still healthy. When he's actually still on the team, Stafford's pretty good.
When he's riding the bench, not so good.
And who on the Titans is going to stop Calvin Johnson?
Where did Jason Campbell end up? Does anybody know? He was with the Bears, but I don't think he's with them anymore.
I don't know. That's your job. Just to hash this out too, so everybody knows. It's kind of awesome because we're from Montana. We don't have a local sports team, so we all have different football teams here. I'm a 49er fan. Brandon here is a Bronco fan. Zach is a Patriots fan. And Adrian
is the fan of all fans of the team of all teams, the Oakland Raiders.
You just sound like such a jackass.
It sounds like a typical Raider fan there.
I mean the Oakland Raiders part anyway. All right, I got the Lions losing at the Bears. Yeah. Week 7. We're in agreement there. Okay.
Yep.
I got them losing when the Packers come to town.
Yep.
See, I have Packers sweeping them.
Yeah, okay. So we're in agreement there. Yep. I got the Texans beating the Lions in Detroit.
Yep.
Yep.
I got, well, the Packers, we already talked about that. We all see sweep, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got them facing the Cardinals. Okay, this is at Arizona, and at the end of the year, and I pay attention to this because this is my division, like, at the end of the year, Arizona's solid, especially at home. They're very tough to beat at home.
Well, they were when Kurt Warner was there, but now it's Kevin.
They are when it's Skelton. They are when it's...
Last year,
dude, they were like 4 out of 5 of their last game, or 5 games they won. Like, that, they just dominate at home at the end of the year.
I can see it, but I don't see it. Like, I could be talked
into it. I could see it, but I don't.
I could be talked into it. I'm just not.
All right. Well,
I'm with you on that one, Zach. The Cardinals are going to
really suck.
Falcons at the Lions. I feel like the Falcons will win that because they go along this habit of, like, winning a bunch of games at the beginning of the season so that they can lose to the Saints later. Although, I don't see them running into the Saints, but somebody else will knock them off. And then Bears at Lions. I think the Bears will win that one, too. And I feel like the Bears will probably be in a position where they need to win that one.
I think the Lions will split with the Bears.
Yeah, I have the each of them winning at home. Yeah.
Do you guys see them making the playoffs just generally right now?
The Bears?
Now? No, the Lions.
I don't.
With the record I have them, they're probably looking at a first or second wild card.
Really?
If they do, it'll be
a second wild card. How many wins did you say?
10.
See, I don't feel like that's going to be enough. I'll have to.
That's borderline. 10 wins is borderline.
It's close. I don't think they're going to be in.
And the NFC, I don't think it'll be enough. Let me put it that way.
And with the playoff teams, there's always like 2 or 3 teams from each conference who don't make it the year after they made it. And I think the Lions are going to be one of those teams. They made it last year, so they probably won't this year. I don't think they're good enough to sustain that success.
Yeah. I just think there's too much distractions there.
They're one of those bubble teams I can't say honestly one way or another.
I could be talked into your line of thinking, too. I could also be talked into 3 less than they have right now.
Yeah. If Matt Stafford gets injured, they could be hanging out with the Vikings.
Yeah. And
if they lose their two best players.
I bang the Matt Stafford is going to get injured drum last year, so I'm not going to do it this year because I banged it into submission with AD.
And the next thing you know.
That one and Mark Sanchez is a terrible quarterback. I also banged. And I feel like he made my point for me.
Yeah.
Last year.
That's why it's off the theme, but that's why I keep saying that what's his face is going to be the quarterback.
Tebow.
Yeah. Not starting out, but he will be.
Yeah,
he will be. Eventually.
I feel like, and we'll get to that.
The only way he's
soon,
not.
But when we get to that, we should break down like what week we think he'll take over. But since we're all in agreement,
depends on when their bye week is.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's how Tebow rolls, dude. He's a
Unless
holy roller.
Sanchez is just god awful really, really quickly.
Yeah, but you have to go long enough to shut up the critics of Tebow, because in New York there's a lot of naysayers.
They're
going to
put Tebow...
Not just in New York.
I think they're going to put Tebow out in that field with Sanchez. He'll be doing some other position.
He's got a wildcat package.
Not only that, he's going to be doing tight end stuff. He's going to be doing all kinds of stuff. You wait.
I don't believe
it. They're just going to throw him out there. If he does well handling the ball, they might not...
I'm going to tell you 2 words why I don't believe that, because I've heard them before. Michael Vick. When they first brought Michael Vick into the Eagles, they were like, we're going to use him like Wildcat.
He's going to be a running back.
Yeah, he's a returner. Like, they went through all this stuff. What did he wind up being? A backup quarterback and then eventually a starting quarterback. And that's exactly where Tebow is going to. Backup quarterback.
Michael Vick is a quarterback.
No, I realize that, but at the same time, because of his legs, everybody was talking about using him for his legs. It's the same with Tebow. Like, Vic did not have a great arm when he was the quarterback.
I don't see Rex Ryan really buying into the Wildcat.
I think the Wildcat is played out.
It only worked for the Dolphins. Everybody tried it. It only worked for the Dolphins, and it doesn't work for them anymore.
Two good running backs, and no one saw it coming.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Once everybody studied it, it was dead.
Yeah.
It was dead, and everybody's like, oh, we can just drop an extra linebacker into the box,
they beat the Pats with
it.
Because they beat the Pats with it, and then immediately everyone else watched what the Pats did and figured it out.
Yeah.
But okay. I do think they might... never mind. I'll save Tebow stuff for next time. I was just going to say the only place I could see him putting Tebow in outside of quarterback is like a goal line fullback. Well, just because he's so naturally good at that, and that's what he does as a quarterback anyways.
They have said that they're going to use him for goal line situations.
I think they'd be silly not to.
Yeah, he's clearly...
I'm thinking if he does well enough doing these things, they're not going to put him in quarterback if they need it. They'll play somebody else.
The New York fans will call for blood as soon as Sanchez screws up.
Yeah, he's got... I mean, it's his last year on his contract,
And Tebow has too many fans. Like, for as many naysayers as he has some people who just blindly
Sanchez
love him.
Colts?
Well, and let's be honest, dude. Maybe I'm alone in this opinion, but I doubt it. I don't think the Jets are going to the playoffs.
No.
Oh, no.
I don't think they're going to the playoffs. And so because of that, I think the Sanchez era is going to be over. Like, they're not re-signing him to that monstrous contract that he was the second highest paid player in the NFL last season.
Really highly paid.
Yeah, and
if it wasn't second, it was close.
And he was such a letdown. There's no way they'll bring him back. There's no way. So it makes sense that this year, when the tide turns against him really strong, you throw in Tebow and you take a look at Tebow and you're like, okay, what do we got with Tebow here? And you decide, is Tebow the way you go going forward, or do you start looking at another quarterback? You start developing somebody.
I think Tebow is someone, an interim.
A stop-loss guy.
Until you find that next guy.
I gotta say, though,
the problem with
the way the Jets play, Tebow is friggin' brilliant to bring in. Like, I the Broncos changed their system to work with him. But the Jets are already built to where, like, Tebow would be great with the Jets. Because it's all running. It's all pounding. Like, he's the perfect guy for that system. They're built to run.
And that's the problem with it. They just want to use him as an interim guy. You can't use a guy like Tebow as an interim for pocket quarterbacks. Like, you either have to have him as an interim for another guy who's a better version of Tebow, or you just don't use him.
No, I just mean that if Sanchez goes,
right,
and you put Tebow in,
he's only
there until you get your next guy in there. You put him somewhere else doing other things, then he becomes that permanent person who's in that position.
I don't know. I feel like if I'm New York, based off of what I saw last year in Denver, if he plays like that again, I feel like that's your guy. Because he works for them. I really feel like he would work
and
for that system.
And
his passing will only get better.
Yeah, and it won't probably ever be great. Like, he probably won't be a great pocket quarterback. But as long as he's serviceable.
As long as
he's
mobile,
like Alex Smith in San Francisco, plus he's really mobile, if that's his destiny, then that's good enough for what the Jets need.
Yeah. He's got to just not blow games, which is what Sanchez did all the time. He was like Alex Smith before last year.
Yeah. Yes.
But worse. Sanchez is clearly worse. When you get a contract that big, you're clearly worse. That's all I would say. All right. Chef. Shoot. And not to swear for any daughter. Okay.
She's not paying attention.
I feel like I had something else with football to bring up.
Oh, we were talking about T.O. signed.
Oh, that's right, with the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Really?
I think that they're going to become my second worst team I'm going to vote for.
Yeah, I don't like the Seahawks
anymore. My number two team.
Which is ironic, because my basketball team is owned by the owner of the Seahawks, Paul Allen.
I'm going to secretly root for T.O. this year, I think.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I think he's been humbled.
He is not. Mm-hmm. You read the Grantland article, right? Yeah. If you have any questions on that, I refer you to Grantland.com and read this giant article they wrote about him before any NFL team was looking at him. And read the things that he says in there. And it's written sympathetically, but read the things he says in there.
But I think that if you go and try out for how many teams did he end up trying out for?
He
set himself an open tryout that no one came to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then he's gone around forcing teams to watch him play so maybe he'll go to it. And he finally ends up in Seattle. I think that humbles you a little bit.
I would, except for he's also the same guy who bought a stake in the minor league team he was playing for. Like, the only reason he made it on that team is because he decided to buy the team. So he still thinks he can buy his way into whatever he wants.
We'll see. I'm kind of secretly pulling for him because I want him to be able to pay his taxes.
Not me, dude. I don't feel the least bit sorry for him, but I suffered under T.O. when he was with my team. Like, we did well, don't get me wrong, but he sat there and, like, put Garcia through the ringer. Like, just put him through the ringer, destroyed his confidence. And, like, Garcia was coming out, like, the way he came out initially, his first three or four seasons, he was on a route to be not as good as Steve Young, but to where you could have a conversation where you said Montana, Young, Garcia. Instead, what happened was, like, Owens talked mad crap about him. He wound up getting shipped out. Goes to, what, Philadelphia next? Talks mad crap about Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb never slings the ball as well as he did with T.O. anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, he goes over to Dallas. Romo had a good couple of years. Never slings the ball well after T.O., like, bursts through there. Guy's a force of nature, dude. He screws up everybody. And
he's
you should be mad, too,
disease.
Because Carson Palmer was throwing to him for a while there. Look at him now. Look at him on your Raiders, dude. How's Carson looking lately?
Ease up, my friend.
I'm just
saying.
We'll
see this year when we're in the playoffs.
Wow, that got maniacal.
Yeah, it did.
We'll see.
Look, dude.
Probably during the
preseason that the 49ers are going to play the Raiders again. And this time, we're not going to have to stab anybody to win, dude. Like, we're going to destroy you guys.
We'll see. We will see.
But it's preseason, so you might win. But something tells me my backups...
There's always an excuse, isn't there, Alex?
No, I'm saying something tells me the backups could beat the tar out of your starters.
We'll see. We'll see. We're laying back in the shadows, waiting to pounce.
Colin Kaepernick. He's going for 200 yards, dude.
Patrick Willis will break someone's spine.
That's right.
The other,
he doesn't care. It's a preseason game. It's Patrick Willis.
What other sports
happen? He's got the skeletal structure of a gorilla.
Olympics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Merca.
There's that whole thing going.
Merca.
Yeah, that's my impression of someone like Merca.
USA.
We kind of suck.
USA.
Now.
USA.
What are you talking about?
We kind of
suck. Winning in the
You're watching different sports.
No,
than
we
I
got
am,
we got like the badminton gold or some shit like that. I'm talking about track and field, the 100 meters, the men's 100 meters. Our two guys who ran that in the medal race,
mm-hmm.
they ran and ran faster than any American has ever run in that race. And
in
we're talking
fact,
Carl Lewis.
In
we're
fact,
talking,
from what I understand, was that the race where six people set the world record, but only one won?
Possibly.
Yeah, it was insane, dude. And Bolt won, right?
Yeah. Bolt won. Yeah. The other Jamaican came in second.
Justin Gatlin was bronze.
Gatlin came in bronze. And then, what's his first name? I can't think of it. His last name is Gay. But,
Rudy.
No. The,
Yura.
No. You're one of them.
I'm gay.
You're one of them. The, he came in fourth, and it was a big thing because he was, it's like his last Olympics, and he wanted to try to, win a medal. He never did it.
Well, he should have been faster.
Well, Gatlin, that was the big, that was the big controversy.
Seriously.
Was that Gatlin took third, but Gatlin had to miss the last Olympics because he got busted for doping. And so that was a big thing there. But the two Americans ran faster. Even the guy who took fourth ran faster than any U.S. runner has ever run in that race and still could not win.
Yeah.
But track and field's never been the U.S.'s.
Oh, bullshit.
Carl Lewis,
my friend.
Was the fastest man ever.
Yeah.
What was the other,
but
the
it's
other
not like
guy
we
name?
Were always cleaning up every single
Oh, that
award.
Was our event. 100-meter run, 100-meter dash, that was our event.
Yeah, but that's one event out of how many in track and field? There's a
Dude,
that is track and field.
Are you kidding me, man?
That is track and field.
Kim Kardashian's stepdaddy used to be a national hero for the
but now he's all in the basement pissing on newspaper.
Is that what he's doing now?
I'm pretty sure.
Track and field is one of the premier things of the Olympics, to me. It's like, that's one of the things that I, well, when I have TV, that's the one thing that I sat and watched, or I DVR'd, or I didn't.
Well, you wouldn't be able to watch it on this Olympics. It's been water polo and volleyball and all its
incarnates. And trampoline.
Yeah.
Floor exercises.
I love trampoline.
I can tell
so
I'm not
beach
talking.
Volleyball.
I can tell I'm not talking to cable watchers because I've been watching a lot of basketball.
Dude, that game with Lithuania was insane.
Hold on. Before you get into that, just in case you haven't been paying attention to U.S. men's basketball, I just got to say it because it was glorious. We stated on Montauk Sports a couple weeks ago that the very idea that the U.S. men's team right now is better than the Dream Team was insane. And so between that podcast and this podcast, they had that game where they scored 159 mm-hmm. points. They won by 85. Like, they just destroyed them. They shot 90% from the three-point field goal. Everybody was starting to anoint them as, like, these guys are better than the Dream Team. Very next game, win by 4 against Lithuania and almost lost. Sorry, dude. You know what the closest margin of a game was with the Dream Team? It was like 38. Like, they averaged beating teams by like 47 points. Like, sorry,
couple,
dude. You don't even.
Teams
I
down
know
the road.
You had. If you want to say the most dominant game ever, I'll agree
that
to that.
That wasn't even the first game that they only won by 4 points. They only beat Argentina by 4 points, and they almost lost that game, too.
Yeah, and they got some tougher teams coming. Russia's looking
real good.
France,
Spain's looking real good.
Yeah, and I wanted to break this down a little bit. So France is the big surprise this year because they're probably the third best team right now. Like, and Spain's probably the fourth. Like,
yeah.
they're just not playing up to expectations right now.
Well, you know, people don't
but,
think about it. Like, Argentina's, you don't think about it. You have Manu Ginobili is on that team. Tony Parker plays for France.
Yeah, and Nicolas Batum. And mm-hmm. Batum has been stepping up in a big way. Like, he disappeared against the U.S. team when they played him. But I'm a Blazer
Parker
fan.
Parker still
so
had a good game, though, in that.
No, he
France.
Did. But Batum disappeared. And I forgive that because not only are you going against, like, LeBron James and, like, all these guys, but, like, every guy on the team is, like, an NBA player, so that gets rough, you know?
Yeah.
But Batum has been very solid for him. He's been averaging about 18 points. He's been averaging about 5 rebounds, which for a forward, like a small forward, that's pretty good, mm-hmm. you know? And he's been getting a couple blocks, a couple steals every game, so he's been pretty solid. But, yeah, France, dude, total surprise. And Spain, I really thought would be, like, the silver medal winner and, like, challenge the U.S. for that gold, like a really close game. No, dude, they don't look like they should.
They did get beat by Russia.
Rubio's on it. Rudy Fernandez, Victor Claver. There's some other guys I know I'm forgetting who are like NBA
right.
guys, but Victor
Both
Claver's.
Gasols.
What's that?
Both Gasols.
Yeah, there you go. The heart of that team
yeah.
right there. Sorry.
You know what bothers me about Spain's national team? There's no consistency with how they have the names on the back of their jerseys.
How so? I didn't notice.
Okay, so Pau Gasol's jersey just says Gasol, right? Mark Gasol's jersey says Mark. Ricky Rubio says Ricky. It's like Rudy Fernandez is R. Fernandez, but he's the only Fernandez on the team. They have like 9 different ways they're putting on, and there just appears to be no uniformity at all. It's just completely.
Well, it's
you
Spain.
Just choose.
It's Spain.
I'm surprised somebody doesn't have like a nickname. Like,
nothing's
I'm surprised
uniform.
Somebody didn't just put Poncho on there because that's what he liked his friends to call him.
Yeah. Well, and Spain, where they've really been disappointing for me is I'm a big Trailblazer fan, and Victor Claver he plays both forward positions for Spain, and he's coming over to the NBA this year for the Trailblazers, and he has looked terrible. He has gotten the most he has scored in a game so far in tournament play is 3 points.
Ouch.
Yeah, dude. And usually it's on the lower end of 0 than it is on the high end of 3. He's never racked up more than 3 rebounds. And once again, he's a forward.
Catch the Victor Claver fever.
No kidding, dude. I'm not looking for that. The guy who has impressed me is coming over for Portland this year is Joel Freeland. the power forward center for Great Britain. Now, Great Britain is playing better than expected. People don't realize this. They want to make fun of them because they're like 1-4. But the truth is, Great Britain was picked to be dead last.
So it's amazing they've won a game. Showing up at all.
Yeah, they hung with Spain. They hung with Russia, which were two teams that were supposed to destroy them. Like, they lost by 1 point with Spain that went down to the wire. And, like, Freeland has shown up in a big, bad way. Like, Lao Deng has been their star, but Freeland has been the other point of that. Unfortunately, there is, like, nobody else showing up for Britain who's doing anything, really. So it's been all Freeland and Deng, so they're pretty far down in the standings. But I'm really impressed with how Freeland's been looking. I'm definitely glad he's coming over to my team this year. And then, I mean, the U.S. team, outside of saying they're not as good as the Dream Team, I don't know what else to say. I don't see anybody having a realistic shot at beating them anymore. Yeah. After seeing how Spain's looked, I know everybody wants to talk Russia. That's, like, the big one now. And it's no offense against Russia. Like, they got a solid team, but I don't see them.
Yeah, not being as good as the Dream Team isn't the same as sucking with this U.S. team. Like, they're still really good.
Yeah. But I do want to emphasize that, like, the international play this year is probably better than any other year I've seen for basketball. Like, I mean, we're going to win the gold, and we've lost it a few times, so don't get me wrong. But, I mean, like, there are so many teams that are fielded that are just so good, man. And, like, how many of those – are there any teams in tournament play that don't have an NBA player at this point?
If there's not many.
Yeah, I don't think there is, honestly. It's, like, 10 teams, and –
This does feel like the highest density of really good international teams in an Olympics.
Yeah, I agree. Usually it's like one other good team.
Yeah, maybe two.
And that's
two.
It. Yeah, maybe two. But, like, it was Russia for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then Spain stepped up. And this year it's like I said, like France is really showing
Russia,
up.
Spain, Argentina.
Lithuania looks pretty good. You can't.
Which is a surprise. When I think basketball, I don't think Lithuania, but
I kind of do because
I know there's a lot of Lithuanian players, but I still don't think of them as like a basketball nation.
That's how I
like. There's
how,
some sort
how,
of cognitive dissonance for
that's
me.
That's how Lithuania became a basketball nation to the Olympics.
Yeah.
With Bill Walton. And all that stuff.
Yeah, we're talking about that. When in the '92, actually when the Dream Team was going around, Russia had just broken up from the previous Olympics, and so it was Lithuania's first outing, and Bill Walton and the Grateful Dead contributed a bunch of money to field the team. So they had, like, these awesome look this
jerseys.
Up on Google if you've never seen this, but look up Lithuania's warm-ups in 92, or the medal
ceremony. I've seen the pictures. They look kind of like Jamaica's jerseys in D2, the Mighty Ducks.
I'll take your word for it. D1 was enough depression for me. But they're all tie-dyed. They have, like, a skeleton dunking a basketball. It's really, really sweet. And Sabonis was on that. And they won, I believe, the
bronze?
Yeah, I kept wanting to say copper, and I knew that wasn't right.
The aluminum medal.
Yeah, but they beat Russia, which was a really big deal for them. To them, that was, like, a gold medal because they spent so many years, like, Russia just mined all the great players from Lithuania. And so, yeah, for them to take it to Russia was a pretty big deal for them. So, and it was nice to watch that game too. I remember that was about the only game I watched that wasn't U.S. when I was a kid, watching that, probably like 13.
Something like that.
Yeah. God, that was a great team. Anyway, I'm not going to spend too much time reminiscing. Portland.
A game 20 years ago.
Yeah. Was it 20?
Well, they said 92, and this is 2012.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn.
What made me feel even older was when someone was breaking down the math for the 84 Olympics, and I was like, oh, I still remember that. Crap. That's right. That's really
that was Carl part. Lewis's year.
That was Carl
Lewis. Also, 88 was Carl Lewis's year, too. And Ben Johnson beat him had steroids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was what's the Michael
Louganis?
No, the other track guy after Carl Lewis, who started taking, he was the world's fastest man, like two Olympics in a row. Michael
Bendis.
No.
Landon.
No. Jordan? No. What was his name? He was.
Wow,
super
this
fast
is
too.
Really exciting radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just went from Michael Bendis.
If you can call in and give us the answer to that, you can win Zach's DVDs.
You have to listen to Montauk Skies for that one. Do you even know what DVDs they are? We'll leave you in suspense.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. Okay, so what else we got on?
UFC on Fox was on.
Oh,
on
hooray.
Sunday. You're supposed to start watching these things.
All right, go ahead and tell me about it.
It was action-packed. It was two knockouts, two submissions, and a... No, there was only four fights. It was two knockouts and two submissions. One was a one-punch knockout, like a minute and 43 seconds into the fight. The other one was a knockout as he took him down to the ground and followed him with the right hook to the ground. Hit the back of his head to smash right into the back, the floor of the cage. It was pretty awesome. It was... You guys got to start watching this stuff so we can talk about it.
I need hockey to start.
You got a ways to go on this.
I know.
What the hockey season? Does that mirror the NBA season?
It's pretty
like
close. It's like
too.
It starts a little later.
Yeah, it's like just a little bit later.
Oh no! You know how Portland's starting out their season? They got to play the Lakers on Halloween.
Wow.
Fuck, man. My team's gonna suck this year. I'm not looking forward to it.
That's not good.
Yeah, dude, Damian Lillard is going to get a trial by fire because he's got to go up against, like, five of the best point guards in the NBA to start out. It's, like, in the first seven
It's either
going
to make him a hero or it's he's going to be shattered by the end of it.
I mean,
I'm
hope
gonna go
it's
with
the
hero,
but I'm also hoping if it's not the hero that it's somewhere in between. Like,
it doesn't go to shattered.
Yeah. Because we don't have much of anything backing him up. We got Nolan Smith.
It might actually put him in a coma, that kind of pressure.
Well, he was saying the other day he could take Steve Nash. Like, he was saying, I was watching a video of him and I could take him. I like that, dude. I don't know if he should voice that.
Yeah. That's the kind of confidence
like,
that can backfire.
But, yeah, you shouldn't necessarily, like, say it.
But you
but
should definitely
like
want your
he
players to
feels
think it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
You don't want your player to think, well, I mean, I'm all right, but you know, maybe top 15, top 10.
But he's also probably like, I'm 22 and this guy is like 90. Like, I can take him. But then again, they are, this is the hope that I'm going to cling to with the Lakers, is that it's in the Rose Garden, and the Lakers, if you check it out online, man, they have a pretty awful history the last 10 years in the Rose Garden. Whether Portland's good or not, they tend to lose in the Rose Garden. So I hope that that pattern continues. And I also heard that right now the Magic is leaning towards not trading Dwight Howard at all. Which
no,
I,
they're not going to. They're going to make him stay through his contract.
I don't believe it, but that's great, dude. I love it, man.
That takes him out of the equation.
It does, because I don't want him to go to the Lakers.
In Orlando.
And I don't. And I think if he can't get that contract extension, he won't go to the Lakers. I really think he doesn't want to be like Shaq 2 and known as like Shaq 2 all the time, you know?
The Orlando's not going to be any kind of a threat anyways. It just takes him out. You take one of the premier players of the league and takes him out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about him anymore.
I'm not going to go that far.
He is that team, I mean.
No, he is, but I'm not saying you can't not worry about Dwight Howard. But
no, I'm in the playoffs, you don't have to worry about him, because he's not going to make it.
I'm not convinced on that totally. I'll wait to see how the season shakes out. We'll have to do some previews sometime soon on that, too, before the season starts.
When does the season start? October what?
October 30th. Yeah, so.
Oh, it's almost October.
I know. It's great. I can't wait.
No,
dude.
Time's flying by. I'm going to be a dad in.
Stop it, old man.
18 days.
Stop it, old man. 18 days?
What's the date today? The 7th?
6th.
The 6th? 21 days.
See, it's already going backwards. Don't worry about it, man. You got years before that.
I'm going to be a dad. Like, I just made my daughter feel really bad about herself.
Yeah, she's sitting there playing Dora with a single tear going down her eye. How are you feeling about your Celtics this year? You like the draft pick?
I like Sullinger.
JD Sullinger?
Yeah, I like Sullinger. I'm kind of, I don't know enough about Fab Melo to care.
Do you think they have a better team than last year or a worse team than the same?
I think Ray Allen being gone is actually kind of helpful because it lets Avery Bradley get a spot. I think it'll probably be a little bit of a lateral move, but it'll get better and better as the season goes on.
Yeah,
I think they're gradually getting younger, and that's going to kind of cause a dip for a while. And then I think all told, it'll balance out.
How do you feel, Brandon, about your Nuggets there?
So far, they signed JaVale McGee.
They pretty much just...
Pretty much kept their ass roster.
Yeah, it looks like
I haven't seen they added much, but they're getting a lot. They're going to have Wilson Chandler back from injury.
I like Chandler, dude. I'm a big Chandler fan. I think he's going to do some things.
So
some good things.
I can't complain too much about, you know, they had a pretty good year last year. I think they're going to do a little better.
See,
they're not going to have as much injury.
I admire you because
paying a short
you lost
season,
to the Lakers in the first round, and you can call that a good year. If I lose to the Lakers in the NBA Finals, I can't be happy, dude. Even like somehow it doesn't work out where we get, you know, into the other conference and still lose the Lakers in the Finals. Like, yeah, there's no circumstance where I lose the Lakers and it's a good year. That's me.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, we both hate the Lakers. The difference? Okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be completely honest. This isn't just fucking with you or anything, but, like, okay, this is the thing. Like, I don't think that Celtics hatred runs quite as deep, and this is why. Your rival hates you back.
Yeah.
Like, you guys hate each other. Like, we get the total disrespect of, like, LA fans have no idea that we hate them so much.
And if they do, they think it's funny.
Yeah, like, I tell them and they just laugh, like, oh, isn't that cute? Screw you, dude! Like, it makes it so much worse, man, because, like, people say it's not a rivalry unless it works both ways, and that's probably true. But, like, we
the
don't
hate's
know that,
still
dude.
There.
We
it feels like a rivalry.
Hate the Lakers. Like, I'm not even making this up. If you look up ticket prices at the Rose Garden during a regular season, they're the same prices for the seats all year long, except for
the
Laker games. They're literally double the price at the Laker games because they know it's going to sell out and it's going to be a ton of people with beat LA signs and a lot worse that they can't put on the cameras. Like, we hate them, and they just laugh at us. They don't even know, dude. It's like, it's like an ant trying to bring down a buffalo sometimes. Ugh.
Well, there's a lot of teams out there that hate LA.
There are, but not like us, dude. Like, the Boston fans are the only ones that hate them as much as us.
That's a hatred cultivated over a long period
of
time.
No, it is the premier rivalry in the NBA. Like, no question about it. And it should be. Like, you guys both have the most championships. Like, that you guys have faced each other in the finals how many friggin' times? I don't know,
it's
man.
It's a lot.
It's definitely the majority of those finals have been settled, or championships have been settled against
between
each
those
other.
Two teams, yeah.
So, okay. Adrian feels out of this one. Do you want to talk about Jordan?
No.
Has he got a new shoe out? Or?
I have no idea.
Oh, how do you guys think the Bobcats are going to look this year?
Excellent.
I see him hitting double digits in the wins.
Wow, you got some confidence.
I'm not saying
they got a
gamble
full
my
season.
I wouldn't gamble my life on it, but
no, I'm going to be realistic about this. They got a better team this year. I'm going to say
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is really
I'm
going to
say
good.
not 20 wins, but somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, they'll be in the teens.
17 to 19 wins.
And I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is going to be really good if he gets something resembling help on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually they drafted well. Yeah. I can't complain. I mean, I like them
I can
not
complain because
well.
I want them to suck. I just want somebody to suck really badly.
I like the idea that, like, Jordan is, like, packing a suitcase in the middle of the night to, like, try and run out of town. packing up those trucks to leave Charlotte.
He's hired a doppelganger.
I like the way Jordan looks now, too. You gotta give him credit, man. It, you know, he's still rocking the earring. Although his ear's so fat now, you're worried that that stud's just gonna fly off like a bullet, dude.
Like a pussy zit.
That's a great thing about, like, ex-athletes. Is like they're all fat, like across the board, dude. You just
hey, can't. Check it out. I'm an ex-athlete.
Me too.
I'm mean, me too. But
I have the body of a Hall of Fame athlete.
Oh, that's something we should talk about, dude. The NFL Hall of Fame was this week.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, a bunch of people got inducted.
Shannon
Sharp. That's right. Chris Dolman.
Who else?
I don't remember. Bunch of non-49ers. You should have looked this up, dude. I'm sure there's a Raider in there somewhere.
There usually is. Every year, that's the rule. Every year, one Raider.
No, that's clearly not the rule. I've actually heard there's a Raiders bias in the Hall of Fame. I'm not even making this up. Like, I heard Marcus Allen talking about it.
Saying what? For them or against them?
Against them.
Oh, because of their past...
thuggery.
Thuggery.
He didn't elaborate, but he feels like the players should be more involved in the selections, and they're not.
You know what you'll have to look forward to, though? When Shane Lechler and Sebastian Janikowski make it to the Hall of Fame.
It's true.
That's Oakland's current best hope.
Janikowski is never going to retire. Make it to
the Hall of Fame.
Two kickers.
He'll be wheel about in a wheelchair. He'll get his walker going out to the midfield.
He'll save up all of his energy just to stand up and make that kick.
I love when they did the Madden cover vote and each team had two players. The Raiders' two players were Lechler and Janikowski. They were their two players who were eligible for the Madden cover. Like when
they did two, I only saw one player.
They did an elimination round where you picked which one from each team.
Oh, so I must
the Pats actually got three players.
I must have missed that one. Yeah, Brandon was...
Brandon Lloyd.
Brandon Beardsley. He was tormenting me because Patrick Willis was like in the final four. And I voted against him at every phase because I love Patrick Willis. And I know how athletes are, man. I don't believe in the Madden curse, but I do believe that athletes
believe
are stupid
it, yeah.
enough to believe on it at some level, and
except
they play
for,
worse.
The only Pat I did vote for was Gronk, because I actually think he's so stupid he goes right back around to not believing in it.
You might be right.
Like,
dude.
He's so stupid he doesn't believe in anything but the freaky magic of fire. That's the only curse he believes in.
Yeah, you might be right on that one, but
so
yeah, he showed me his vote on Facebook, just rubbing it in on me and stuff.
What was it? The first preseason game was the 18th, right?
I don't know. They just did the Hall of Fame game, though.
Yeah,
I think it's this week.
No, they just did it. The Hall of Fame. Oh, you're talking about preseason?
I think
preseason
the 18th.
Week one is this week.
Okay, what divisions do we have left to review in the NFL? I know our divisions. What else?
Like, the West in both and the East in both.
Okay, do we want to just cover a region next week to get caught up? Because we're a week behind here. Okay, we three have the West. That's easy for us, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we should couple the West with something. But do you want to just
well,
do,
we
both,
just do
both
West.
West next? Okay, so we'll cover the AFC and NFC West. We'll preview those, and then we'll do. Well, we'll talk
well,
about that when we
get the question there. Is: with twice as many teams, will I be able to get it on a smaller piece of paper?
You got front and back.
Faith in you. I think I can.
He's got a postage stamp here somewhere.
That's an idea. I should do that.
He's such a jerk.
I'll write it, I'll lick it, I'll put it on a piece of mail, I'll mail it to myself, and then when it comes, I'll fix it, open the mail, and you'll think I'm building my list from the inside. Then I'll go...
He's miming licking a stamp, and I don't know what else.
Flaunting it.
And then
flaunting
his picks that are on said stamp.
Oakland, number one.
That's right, because they're going to mail it in. Week four, they'll know it's all over.
They're not going to do good, because I didn't get my Raiders jersey, and I'm not going to be able to now because they're too expensive.
By the way, did you hear who their new backup quarterback is? Just in case you forgot.
Liner.
Liner.
Yes. Leinart.
You have a USC legacy at quarterback now.
Leinart.
Palmer and Leinart.
Palmer's going to do good this year.
I mean, I guess if the statistics reverse that's been going on the last 4 years. Yeah. And he starts aging backwards like Benjamin Buttons. Yeah, he's going to have a great season.
He's going to do good. He's going to do good.
I'm going to start calling Carson Palmer's Buttons. That's my new nickname. I declare it on episode one. Carson Palmer is now Buttons.
I was talking football to some kid at work the other day, and he's like, and you guys got Carson Daly as a quarterback, right?
Yeah. Last call.
I said yes.
That's so great.
Carson Daly might actually be an upgrade at quarterback.
Oh. You know, 2 years ago at my work, I had this guy. I went out to lunch with him, and he was like a family member of one of my clients. And he forgot a cell phone, and so he wanted me to like mail it back to him. I was like, all right, and I just paid it out of my pocket. And he felt bad that I had to pay for it, so he sent me a check, but instead of writing Alex Small on the check, he wrote Alex Smith. And I was like, I don't know whether to be insulted or not. I didn't cash it.
But you can't.
Well, it was literally for like a dollar or two.
Still.
Did you frame it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I stole Alex Smith's check.
You should have forwarded it to him.
Every dollar counts.
I'd be afraid of how that stuff worked out, man. Like, he might not notice it now and then get under a stack of mail, like, 15 years from now when he's homeless. And he's like, hey, go after me in court. Pick up some kind of stalker. Because I am a Niners fan. That's known.
It's true.
That would worry me.
This is all evidence right now.
I know. You better stop talking. They'll cut up my audio bite so it sounds like...
Take it out of context.
Yeah.
I got that Chewbacca defense. Don't worry about it.
If Chewbacca lives on Endor...
8 foot tall, Wookiee.
Alex Small.
So, I just wanted to give a shout out to my cousin, Pete Solon. He won his boxing match last week.
Oh, nice.
33 years old. The guy's still cut.
What's his record?
You know, I don't know. He did have a Golden Gloves for the state for a while.
Nice.
So.
Congratulations to him.
Has anybody heard when Duran Cafaro is going to
be? Yeah, 18th.
The 18th.
Of this month? Where is he boxing at?
Fairgrounds.
I think it's Fairgrounds.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, why do I have to be poor?
It's free. It's not free. It's cheap.
It's not free. It's cheap. It's not expensive.
It's cheap. You can see him every day at Taco Del Sol where he works.
Oh, really? He's probably made me some burritos.
Yeah.
And he just like punches it at the end.
We went there to eat one day, and it was literally like one of his first days, and they were showing him how to do stuff. So he's standing there next to somebody who knows what they're doing, and he's like, "Hey, can I help you?" "All right." And he tells the person who knows what they're doing, and he's watched them do it. Okay.
Was training. Come on, man.
On the way down, they had a truck for it. They like backed this old like 80s Chevy truck back up into the parking lot down by Safeway, and it's got like a sheet with like written in shoe polish on it. August 18th.
Yeah, it's not expensive. You could totally afford to go see those fights.
All right. Well, I am going to then because I've been following him quite a bit, like in the newspaper and since. He was on his way to the Golden Gloves.
I've seen him fight 3 times when I worked at the fairgrounds. He's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, I can't wait, man. It's for those not in the know, is he featherweight, welterweight?
I think he's bantam. He's not that big of a dude. He's under 155.
Anyway, he's our local.
I don't know. I'm not
Helena
used to the
boxer.
Weight classes in boxing. I'm used to MMA weight classes, so I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I feel like
he's like 125 maybe.
So maybe he's like welterweight then.
That sounds about welterweight.
Yeah, but he's our local boxer in Helena. And he's 2-0 professionally right now.
He's been a hair away from making the Olympics twice.
Yeah, yep, Golden Gloves winner. So I'm looking forward to that. I guess we'll have to talk about that when it comes up.
When is the fight?
The 18th.
You literally just told me that.
No, the 18th is
a Saturday.
Is opening day of preseason. That's what I think. You think it's this week?
If they just had the Hall of Fame, it's this week.
They did just have the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go with you.
It was who beat the Cardinals? It was
the Saints, I think. I think it's Cardinals.
Yeah, the Saints beat the Cardinals.
Maybe I'll go with you.
All right. Yeah, be a good time. Yeah. We'll watch people get beaten up.
And then you have to watch a UFC fight.
You're pushing it now, man.
You watch it once, you're going to be like, oh, snap.
I've watched it twice with you.
When?
I came over to your house one time when we used to play in the Strangers in your basement, and we watched Brock Lesnar facing whoever the other big guy was at the time. It was whoever the new up-and-comer was. And then I watched it again. You recorded it on your
that doesn't count. You have to watch it live.
Okay, well, I watched one live with you.
And they come on free on Fox every once in a while, and on FX, so you can watch them without paying for anything for them.
Man, I'd find a way around that anyway.
yeah, but you know.
No, you can't. How would you do that?
Yeah, what on earth are you talking about?
Adrian's my friend. Really wants me to watch it.
This was really good ones. I was watching them, and I was thinking, I wish you guys would have seen that one. There was, they set up, the last two fights of the night were two light heavyweight fights, and it was to set up who was going to be the next number one contender. And what the rule he made was, the president came out and said, out of these two fights, whoever wins in the most impressive way is going to get that next shot. So you had these two guys fighting, these two fights, and they were just going at it, trying to be the most impressive. It was insane, the caliber of stuff that they were throwing and stuff. And the one guy, Lyoto Machida, he got rushed, and the guy rushed him. He just reached in and just straight right to the chin, and it's seen his whole lower jaw just crumble back into his head. And he just fell down face first on the ground, and then got pummeled again and get a couple times on the ground. And then the second fight was a five-round fight. It went 4.5 rounds, and it was the entire time non-stop fighting, just back and forth. The kickboxing was just immaculate in this fight. It was awesome. If it was ever on the ground, it was on the ground just because they needed a break, and as soon as it hit the ground, they were right back up, and they're scrapping again. It was really, really good.
I'll make it a deal. I'll watch one of those with you.
I don't understand how you can like boxing and not like MMA.
I have history with boxing. I understand it too.
I know the sport itself, though. I like boxing. I like it with knockouts and stuff.
You're not gonna like the true answer.
It's gonna be something of that.
You're not gonna like the answer.
Well, then don't tell me.
I'm going to tell you anyway. With the exception of you. So most of the boxing fans that I've known throughout my life have been, like, the older guys who I always respected and stuff, and my friends and stuff. And, like, I mean, until recently, boxing was a big deal, like, until the last 10 years or so. So I get along with the boxing crowds really well. The UFC crowds always reminds me of, like, the dudes that I hate.
There's a lot of
scumbag Steve.
Yeah, dude, the guy who's, like...
There's the guys who walk around with tap out every day of their life.
But I'm just trying to tell you, like, the guy, with the exception of you, the guys who I think of, like, with UFC are, like, the dudes who have, like, the face tattooed, and then, like, their head's completely shaved, and they have, like, 15 earrings in both ears. They're looking for a fight. They always smell of whiskey, urine, and testosterone.
That's why.
And they're always wearing, like, a Slayer shirt or something.
That's why. And that's messed up because I have a Slayer shirt.
Your part there. Yeah. Pretty soon you're going to be shaving your head.
It all depends on who you're watching these fights with. Now, if you're watching these fights at a place where you're surrounded by these idiots.
I mean, gestures was my experience.
Well, that's
but
what I'm
I can't help it. That's what I picture when I. Like,
you watch it in the comfortability of your own home?
I know. I just. That's. that's where my hesitation comes, because I already have a knee jerk of like, these are the same guys who are like going off on how awful boxing is. But to an extent, they're right, because like Olympic boxing is another great example. I think the Japanese guy, like he was in this boxing match, and he already got busted because he was trying to buy a gold. Like, it was known that he was trying to buy a gold medal. He got knocked down 6 times in this one round and still won the round.
Well, they...
That's in the Olympics. That's supposed to be like the
Olympics,
one tier where it's...
fired a bunch of the boxing judges.
Yeah, and I think it was over that match. But that still happens, and that bothers me.
Well, look at
the
Pacquiao fight. I mean, and that's a big fight.
No, that was messed up, man. And that's what bothers me about boxing, is like, you can't take the gambling out of boxing, and it's like completely corrupted and destroyed the sport. It ran strong for a long time in spite of it, but now it's just like corrupted it to the point of where, like, I don't think it'll ever
come
back.
Well, see, that's what's good too about UFC. What they do is they have their pay-per-view, which is 5 fights. Then they have their preliminary, their undercard, which is like 5 or 6 fights. They show those 5 or 6 fights for free on FX or something like that. The preliminary fights are the best ones to watch, because those are the guys who just gotten into the UFC,
and
they're fighting to stay there.
I would also say that boxing, like, they just follow that model for boxing, though. It's just...
Well, the difference,
like,
for me...
Like, nobody cares about the people in
boxing. The difference for me is
that
when you get a Manny Pacquiao fight, if you pay-per-view that, and you're sitting there, and you're basically watching, you want to see that fight. But they have the undercard, like 3 fights.
And
they suck.
No, I disagree.
No,
I disagree completely.
Those are usually
this
the
is
ones
the thing,
to
you
watch.
Don't have a dog in the fight, so you may not care, but usually the most exciting fights are the ones that are the undercard.
But there's only 3 of them.
Sometimes there's more. Like, it depends on the package. I've seen ones that lasted all day, that were just like undercards all day long.
I'm just saying, like, on UFC, the fights start at 2 o'clock and get over at 10:30 at night. And if you're watching all of them, you're switching the channels to get
the
to
the other thing, too, and you're not going to like this either, but this is completely honest. I hate Joe Rogan with a passion. I hate Joe Rogan.
It's okay.
So the
he looks like he's getting ready to pass away.
Really?
He looks like it.
Oh, okay. I was like, do you know something? I don't know whether to feel bad or celebratory about this, but I hate Joe Rogan. And so the fact that he's like the main announcer, like, to the same point as like an NBA games, I had to really want to watch the game when Marv Albert was like the commentator for a long time. Now he's kind of like toned it down, and he seems to be mailing it in, so I don't care.
All right!
Yeah. So I don't care as much anymore, but I used to
from
hate
downtown.
Marvin Albert. Yeah. And Joe Rogan's the same way, dude. I can't stand him. He was like, they took the least funniest guy for news radio. Like, the only non-funny guy. Even the replacement guy for Phil Hartman, who didn't do well, like John Lovitz, was loads funnier than Joe Rogan. And then they were like, we're gonna make you a star, Joe Rogan. Just make people feel really bad about not eating bugs and intestines.
Imagine if Phil Hartman was doing the UFC. That'd be hilarious.
That would be great. Hi, I'm Phil McClure.
Troy McClure,
sorry.
You may remember me from such films as Red Ants Pants. And That's My Coke.
That's right.
The thing with Joe Rogan that's hilarious, though, is you watch the fights, and I tried to turn the volume off and listen to music or something, but it's harder. It's harder for me to watch it like that. I have to be able to listen to him.
I watch
a
lot
of
John Madden that way.
He is knowledgeable. He's knowledgeable. But hear the stuff that he says that comes out of his mouth and listen to him. And then the next day, you go back on the computer and you can listen to all the fighters' reactions. Like, they'll go back and watch the fight and listen to what Joe Rogan's saying about them during the fight. And he's like, that motherfucker, I'm going to kill him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's the best part.
They had some good commentary on Olympics yesterday. They were playing the women's volleyball, and there was one of the USA's star players, Stephanie Hooker. And so, I mean, there was some great one-liners that came out of that. Look how Looker's feeling that ball. She's really getting in there. And
you know,
I
know they're doing that on purpose, too.
They had to. And the other one I remember was, I can't believe she stood up to that 6'2" Hooker.
Have you guys seen the beach volleyball, the different uniforms that they're wearing now? All the different variety?
No, I miss that.
I have not seen any volleyball so far.
Like, so women's beach volleyball, they wear bikinis, but now they don't have to. They said because of the weather in England, it's kind of dreary. It can be chilly.
So are they wearing like sweaters? There's like long sleeve.
They're wearing like, not just like spandex shorts and like long sleeve spandex shirts. They're wearing long sleeve spandex shirts and long spandex pants. They're covered from ankle to wrist.
The volleyball ratings just took a dramatic dip in the males.
But the Americans are still just wearing their bikinis. They don't even care.
Them in Brazil.
And they still giggle when they hit the ball every time.
Oh, what was it? And somebody called the entire Brazilian women's soccer team fat.
Oh, no.
That they didn't deserve to be on the Olympics because they're out of shape. And that's not the place for...
Man, people need to get over this stuff. I don't even have a joke, man. Just
there was a, lay off there was
fat
a,
people for a while.
There was an American swimmer, a breaststroke swimmer. She was
unless it's in basketball, and then it's fair.
Yeah,
she's
because
not
they're
thin.
Clearly being lazy.
She's not
like Raymond Felton,
stretch.
Dude. I'm sorry, man. When you look like Charles Barkley, but you don't play like Charles Barkley, it's not good.
There was a woman who weighs 346 pounds, but she's a power lifter. She's clearly the biggest woman, and she's the biggest person in the Olympics, which is maybe biggest woman, not the biggest person. But they were talking to her about it. And it was funny because she's talking like, you know, like it happens to her all the time.
Did she medal?
No.
So she was the biggest loser.
The biggest loser. Maybe she'll be on that show next.
What show? You know, the only reason I even know about that show is The Sopranos with Vito. Like, this is the biggest loser. It said showing off his pants.
Oh, yeah?
Did you make it to the final season of The Sopranos?
No.
That's probably good. It's not
good. In real life, he was on the show, or he was on the show?
He was on
and
the show in real life, and then in the show, they wrote in, like, you're not supposed to lose weight on the show at all because they do flashbacks all the time. But they wrote in a part for him in the show where he was like on some like Nutrisystem kind of thing, and he was doing an ad campaign, which was also like a point of contention with everybody because if you're a mobster, you shouldn't be known.
Yeah.
You know, for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So. And he was gay, which was a problem. You didn't really get into the last season
no, I
at
didn't.
All, did you?
No, I didn't.
It's not like terrible.
It really takes for something that's that long, it really takes it to be really, really good to keep me involved in it. And if I start watching a season and it's going real slow, it doesn't mean that the season's going to be bad. It's just that I will lose my interest in that first couple of episodes.
Well, the problem with The Sopranos was like, and I worry that this will happen with Breaking Bad. I hope not, but they had a season's worth of material, like 13 episodes like you normally do, and they turned it into 21 episodes or something like that.
Ooh.
And so what wound up happening was you had like 10 episodes that were totally just filler and off, like intermittently over 2 years.
Sports.
Right. But you know, Tony Soprano, he's always cooking that barbecue in the backyard, and sometimes they were playing volleyball.
This is true.
Speaking of volleyball, so those uniforms were pretty covering, huh?
Well, some of them are choosing not to. The ones who are choosing not to, I root for.
With your remote?
As a young man growing up, I remember beach volleyball at the Olympics being one of my favorite things to watch.
The tenacity. And athleticism in that game. It's
also,
a real draw.
Also the jiggling and giggling, right?
They're not really jiggling. They're pretty fit.
That stuff's pretty tight.
Yeah. It's not moving anywhere. They're good to go. I sound like Jack Black, but they're good to go.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it with that thought.
Beach
you're
volleyball
good to go.
Players
USA.
Are good to go.
USA.
America. USA.
America.